from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Score!
Let's go now! You fire the first shot! Let's go, man!
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
H-I-T-S, they all stand for try hard. So for the coaches, it's now H is for, hey, don't do that. I is for, I wouldn't do that if I were you. T is for, that's a bad thing to do. And S is for, stop, you're fired.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
We love our Thursday Bears conversations with our next guest. He is Jason Leisure, the Sun-Times beat writer on Twitter, at Jason Leisure, with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Dan? Lawrence, how's it going? You know, I was thinking during that intro, the clip where I'm talking about the new HITS acronym.
Yes.
That had to have been at the low point of the Matt Eberflus era.
Yeah, because you sounded peeved.
Well, just piles of losses and scandal and no sense that it was headed the right way. And now we're not that much time removed from that. And it's like, this guy could either be the favorite in Vegas to be first coach fired or the favorite to win coach of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm guessing that was probably week three that you said that of last year, where it looked like Fam was about to get fired. And then they rallied and they made a move and all that good stuff. Dan and I today, we've been talking a little bit more defense than usual. And I think that that's a good thing because obviously people want to know whether they're reading your work or checking you out on Twitter. They want to know, how's Caleb doing? How's Caleb doing? I feel like there are legitimate questions about how the Bears are going to generate a pass rush. And I would love to know what you think on how the Bears have described how they plan on generating a pass rush.
Well, how they describe it or how I understand and interpret how they describe it are two different things. They're saying, well, we're fine. We like what we have. But you know, we're always looking at every option. I am interpreting it as, based on what I'm seeing, what we've seen the last couple of years, and even through what they're saying, we're not asking them, are they looking for help at corner, for example, or wide receiver? Like, this is coming up for a reason. In fact, Ryan Poles brought it up unsolicited, unprompted in his report day press conference. I think that I would sum up their situation and what they're saying publicly as they have limited options. There's just not much they can do right now. And I think for a while they have had an eye on Yannick Ngakoue coming back. And there was, you know, that's not a terrible option, especially if he's going to be a third down pass rush specialist. But I'm not convinced that they've got their answer currently in camp. And it is the second most important roster spot on any team is your pass rush. And you need two. They've got Montez Sweat. That is a really good start. But they don't have anyone else that is a sure thing. And, you know, when I was talking just a minute ago about Vegas odds and stuff, I don't know if you can bet on this, but if you could bet right now today, what position will they draft in the first round next year? You would have to think it'll be defensive end.
I would hope. So of the choices that they have, and what the, it seemed like there was a run on the bank on Jervon Dexter Sr. stories. He's clearly in the best shape of his life, and he came into camp in the best shape of his life.
Best shape of anyone's life, not just his.
Yeah.
All lives. They all matter.
I thought that he played really well for the last like seven games of the season. Is there any of that from what you saw and what he's talked about, what he learned in the offseason, that gives you the feeling that he's ready to take the next step where he's not just learning, but he's being disruptive?
Well, he's seems smarter, more serious, and in better shape. Those are all good signs, but I don't really know how we can evaluate anything we've seen from him until we get a solid run of padded practices. I mean, that's just the thing you have no idea how to read when you're watching these early training camp practices, is what's going on the offensive line and the defensive line. To your pass rush question, why can't I say that?
Because they don't have one?
Oh. Right. Can't say something that doesn't exist. Their pass rush has looked really good in these first few practices, but I don't think that means anything at all because it's not real. It's not even it of all the positions and all the competitions versus for offense versus defense on the field, that is the one that you are learning the least about during these unpadded practices.
So how much do they, if we're not learning, how are they learning?
I don't think they are really. I think they have the body of work, Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, Matt Eberflus. I think they have the body of work of these players, you know, for seasons of film, but I don't think that they have a great read right now on how good their pass rush actually is. I think they would tell you that. I think they would say, we need to see a week or at least three or four practices in pads.
Okay, now let's flip over to the offensive side and Caleb Williams and what's going on with his camp. Like, how would you describe the what's happened with him in the stuff that you're allowed to see and report in practice?
Just fine. He's been just fine. Right where you'd want him to be. Not better than that, not worse than that. He looks fine. It's a little hit and miss, but that's okay. And at this stage, it's okay. And a great example is the other day in a two-minute drill, I saw him make this incredible throw to DeAndre Carter, one of the backup wide receivers, where they're in the red zone area and red zone adjacent, right in that territory. And he throws this great kind of submarine ball, just kind of threads it through a crowd in the middle of the field for a completion down to the 7-yard line. I mean, it's exactly the kind of pass that you've been hearing about with this guy. You're like, oh man, look at him do it. That's incredible. First and goal from the 7, 4 straight incompletions. It's just up and down. That's what it's like for almost every rookie quarterback at this stage. So it's not anything to be alarmed by. It's not anything that has signaled, oh man, this isn't on track. It's just he's right where you would think a first round quarterback would be 1 week into training camp.
Now, did you know that your colleague Mark Potash was going to be, I don't want to say sneaking around, but going around asking,
stirring the pot?
Yeah, he's doing what he does and starting to introduce the, is he better than Fields? What do you think? Could you compare and contrast Fields to, and it's, I know it's early to do it, but it sounds like that we're heading down that road inevitably.
I don't know anything about Mark Potash's activities, okay, or whereabouts.
Probably best.
No, it's not best. You would think I should know because I work with him. I should be kept in the loop on this. But you know, if you ask Potsy, even, you know, does he have dogs or cats at home, he'll say, well, that's too personal of a question.
But if you ask him about bowling, he'll go all day.
Until he won't, yeah.
Or about the grocery business.
I do think that stirring.
He has great insight on that. I actually find that fascinating to talk grocery store.
That he
with
he
Mark
should.
Because his family has, that's the family business, yes. And he grew up doing that. But one difference I've seen that is pretty telling between Caleb Williams during this first week of practice and what Justin Fields had looked like in training camps last year, the year before, Caleb Williams has not been taking off running. He's a mobile quarterback. He's not nearly the sprinter the like running threat that Justin Fields is. I don't know if anyone in the league is as good of a downfield runner as Justin Fields, but Justin would do that a lot in practice. And as soon as he would do it, you'd say, well, what's the point of that?
Yeah, that's nobody not can what touch the drill him. Is
that's just a waste. I'd rather him sit back there and have to eat a coverage sack, because that's a little more informative. That's a little more realistic. Taking off and running, that doesn't translate, doesn't tell us anything. Now, in his case, he could do that in the games too. He was very good at that. Caleb Williams hasn't been doing that. I don't think we're going to see him do that when they go to pads either. He's got mobility. He's used his mobility to buy time, but I think maybe once I've seen him actually take off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think that you should tell DeLuca that stirring the pot.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Stirring the pot would make for a really good section inside of the football coverage in the Sun-Times.
We used to have on our podcast that we do at the Sun-Times about the Bears, we used to have a segment within it, a podcast within the podcast called the Potcast, in which we would get Mark's thoughts on random things.
Okay.
Like superheroes or something that was in the mainstream, you know, trending or whatever that day. And actually, one of the funny revelations that came from that is, you know, the Marvel hero who flies around and shoots webs out of his wrists?
Yes.
Spider-Man.
Heard of him.
Well, as Mark pronounces it, Spider-Man.
That's the old Friends joke. That's where Chandler...
I don't know if Mark knows that's a joke. I think that's how he pronounces it.
Now, Chandler's reading a comic book, and Phoebe walks by, and she says something like, oh, are you reading Spider-Man? And he says, it's not it's Spider-Man. He is a Spider-Man. It's not like his name... It's not like he's Phil Spider-Man.
I don't think Potsy watches Friends.
Yeah, okay, now you mentioned you had a question about wearing a watch.
Yeah, do you guys wear watches? And not the iWatch, not the iPhone watch.
Yep,
like an actual watch.
I mean, I have an Apple Watch, and for something really fancy, I have two very nice watches. That, like, when Tony got married, I wasn't wearing my Apple Watch. I was wearing a real watch.
So this has a story. This watch, and I wear it every day because that was the deal. It was the deal that I made. My parents were big on learning about being punctual, about how half it was one of the most important things in your entire life, whatever you're doing, be on time or be early. Don't be late. And I think it's given me some anxiety in my life, because I'm constantly worried about being late to things. But it's good advice, and I'm trying to do it with my kids too, to at least with one in vain. Trying to understand this. Like, I keep saying, that's not how time works. So
that poor kid.
So no, he doesn't understand how time works. So my dad, I said, because they tried to get me to wear a watch. They bought me the little Timexes with a Twisto Flex band, and whatever.
Did you ever have a Swatch?
I did not have a. I did. I did have a Swatch at one point. My sister had like five of them, but because she thought it was all this whole fashion thing.
Yeah.
So I said,
those are actually kind of nice.
They're fine. But I said,
now they are.
I said, I would wear a watch every day if I had a really good watch. And after junior high, my dad said, if you can have an A average at the end of high school, I will get you, as your graduation present, if you get an A average at the end of high school, you can get a Rolex.
Humble brag.
And I said, deal. And he said, but only if, after the fact, you wear it every day.
Well, that's nice that you've kept your word.
And I've the only time I don't wear it, you know, if I'm I don't wear it fishing because I worry about it coming open and falling in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I take off my wedding ring before I go.
I mean, the class just did, like, imagine if you threw your cast and then the...
Or I'm, you know, pulling, hauling something in, you know, so... But yeah, I wear it. I wear it every day, and I feel weird if I'm not wearing it.
So and I had a whole bunch of watches because it's the one piece of jewelry that I actually like, and I offered them up because I figured out, like, between my Apple Watch and the ones that I wear for a really nice occasion, I don't really need the rest of them. I think Studs took one or two of the watches that I had, so I just decided that I would gift those. So why is the watch thing coming up as a question?
Well, I was eating lunch yesterday with my dad and my brother, and I was wearing a watch. And I wear a watch basically every day. I don't have one of those Apple Watches. I don't really want one. But I wear one every day. And I have a couple nicer ones I wear if I'm wearing dress clothes. But even today, I don't know if you guys can see, I've just got like a Timex Weekender watch with the nylon strap. Like, not, it's a $30 watch. I wear a watch every day, but I never once any day look at my watch to see what time it is. In fact, the other day, somehow I noticed that my watch battery had died, and it was like, you know, I don't even know if I should bother getting it replaced. I almost wear it out of habit or as jewelry, although I don't know that you could call a Weekender watch jewelry.
No, I absolutely.
It has no function to me. I check my time on my phone.
But that's...
But I still wear a watch every day.
There was a really interesting debate on Reels last week, and one of the dudes from... Is it Kevin from Shark Tank? Is that his name? He was the older guy, not, you know, anyway.
Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful?
Yes. Yeah. He was talking with a younger content producer, and he was saying, like, no, man, you need to step up your watch game from wearing your Apple Watch. And the younger guy was like, this is functionality. Like, this watch is doing this, and this. And if I need to, I can, but why would I spend $5,000 on a watch when the stuff that I do on a day-to-day basis, I need this more than I need that? It was interesting, like, kind of back and forth, like, older generation, younger generation thing. I've actually really enjoyed my Apple Watch because I think that it's kept me on task. Like, you can set, like, I have the rings, and the three rings are it's... You can set, like, active movement, that number, exercise, and standing. Okay. So when you complete the three rings, you have accomplished your goal. So each day, my goal is to do that until it gets too easy, and then I up it. But my goal is to stand for at least a few minutes every hour for 12 hours a day.
That would be bad for my anxiety.
Probably.
To be have a scoreboard, like a constant, that is like wheelhouse for the kind of thing I'm supposed to avoid.
No, I get that, but it also, like, keeps me on task. Like, I know if I'm doing my exercise, like, what my heart rate is while my exercise.
It's hard enough to have the ticking hand of the watch say that this is time that is bleeding away from your human existence.
Well, I'm not looking at it that way.
I mean, this is every second that gets sand through the hourglass. I mean, that it's gone, and you're never going to have it again.
That's Dan. But
that's very dramatic.
I got to tell you that part of the reason that I do enjoy my Apple Watch versus my other nice, like, timepieces is because of the lack of ticking. That's something I struggle with, where, like, when I go to bed at night, I want to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my watches I have to keep in a drawer somewhere in the closet or in the bathroom. My wife has a Swatch watch. We were talking about them, and it's a nice watch. It's like a $200 watch, I think. It's nice, like, for kind of a sporty watch. And it ticks so loud. It ticks almost like a mouse playing the drums.
Yeah, our kitchen clock. We didn't even know that our kitchen clock ticked audibly.
Yeah.
Until
you don't find it out until the worst possible time.
You don't find it out until you're empty nesters. And it's spring or fall when the heat or the air conditioning isn't on.
Yeah.
And then you're sipping your coffee and you're looking at your spouse like,
is that you?
Is creepy as hell. Like, we're in Edgar Allan Poe story all of a sudden. Like, is that underneath the floorboards?
Why are you like this? Why do you have to take everything to this? I'm just talking about, you know, do you wear a watch or not? And you're
don't
like,
you know me already?
Yeah, I do.
Haven't you been around
away
here
the
long
seconds
enough?
Of my precious life?
Yes.
And the inevitability that awaits us all. Like, geez, Dan.
Hey, man, welcome to it.
This is my life.
I thought we were trying to come on here and have fun and stuff.
Yeah. I find it fun.
Well, I have an actual, like, old school battery powered alarm clock, and it ticks, and I have it in the bathroom, so you know you can go to sleep, close the door, and you're not going to hear it. But I thought about that because that's one of the ways that my anxiety manifests itself, like the idea of being on time. Where, oh well, what if the power goes out, and you need to still get up and go to work, like. You want to have that. When I was working the morning show at Stadium, or back then 120 Sports, like, that was a thing. So I wanted to make sure, if I set my alarm wrong, like PM instead of AM, I wanted to make sure I had that backup there.
That before.
Yeah, right. And that's that why, lesson. You know. So thanks for dredging up all of our anxiety, Jason.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah, another great Bears segment.
It was a bad day.
It's a good bear segment. The watch segment was not great.
Do you think Dan was flexing that he owns a Rolex, or that he got straight A's, or was it both?
I think it was all of that, and that someone got it for him. I think it was
an incentive deal.
It
was an incentive deal. But it was. It worked.
I mean, it's fine. Like, my incentive deal with my nephew: catch the ball 10 times, you get a bat.
There you go. I didn't get a bat. I didn't really know how to use one or anything but a fastball. A
little bit different price range, though.
A little bit.
Yeah, this is not the expensive one, though. This isn't $25,000.
It's still expensive.
Like, have you seen the one that Wannstedt's got?
Yeah, Wanny's got nice watches.
Dude's got great watches. Always has.
And even a bourbon collection. Excellent.
The fact that you would ever describe any Rolex as not the expensive one, this is the cheap one, Dan, it shows how out of touch you are.
There's ones with diamonds in them. There's ones that are like $50,000. Are you kidding?
Look, he is a man of the people.
Yours is only like $5,000?
No, it's not that. I wouldn't think so. I don't even know what it's worth now.
Which model is it, Dino? I bet you it's worth more now.
This is bought in 1987.
Dan, that watch is probably worth $10,000.
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. No.
Rolex, model number? Model
Rolexes,
sir?
Don't appreciate in value?
Some do, but this isn't gold. This is the stainless steel. This is just the cheapest.
You have a watch
one.
That's been working for, you have a Rolex that's still working 35 years later.
Well, they're supposed to work forever.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is that it's probably appreciated in value instead of depreciated.
Nah, there's too many of them. It's not like, there are some.
See how he's trying not to be rich now?
No, I'm telling you.
See that?
There are some.
You see the Jedi mind trick that he's trying right now?
There are some that they make where they literally will break the mold. Like, there's only 3 of them in existence.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, let's say your watch was $2,500. When it was bought. Let's just say that. That it's probably worth double that now.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I just don't think this is one of those, because there's no precious metal in it. It's not going
to
appreciate
the
same way.
Paying capital gains taxes on
That's
it.
What it is. Yeah. Now you figured it out.
The feds are listening to this.
Just not until I sell it. And this will get willed. It won't be sold. So the tax bill may never come due. Jason Leisure, thank you as always.
All right, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.